Have you turned with me in your Bibles? We'll be reading in two places. I'm going to read to you in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Then also we'll be reading in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Let's start there first. Matthew chapter 16. Start at verse 17. Then I'm going to go to the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 1. I'll start there at verse 17. Hallelujah. You know, in all the world, it's good to know that if you was to die right today, that you're doing all you can according to your heart and knowledge to follow the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then I want to read in Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Have your precious way, Lord. Minister to every soul, heart, and mind. You may be seated tonight. I want to say as a forerunner that I do appreciate and love Brother Shirty and Sister Shirty. I thank God for them. And as Brother Shirty made a statement, the more I travel, the more I appreciate them. The more I appreciate my home church. It is a real world. And of course, we all know that outside the doors. It's a whole different atmosphere in the world than in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I heard somebody say one time, the Embro Shirley said that, they said, your first year is always your hardest year in church. So I hope it's like that on the evangelistical field. Glory to God. But I do want to say that in traveling, making the statement about the world and the church, anybody that loves God hates sin. I mean, that's plain. I don't have to ramp and holler to get that across. It don't take me long to tell whether somebody loves God or not. Out of the abundance of the heart, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if I am around somebody and they begin to talk worldliness and maybe not so much as just filthy jokes, but just constant carnality. Don't take me long to realize their heart isn't in the work of God. Heard of a man that sat down with an evangelist that came to preach a revival for him, a pastor. He said he began to talk about revival and talk about the church and wanting, just was praying and really wanting the move of God. And the evangelist spoke up and said, Hey, let's don't talk shop talk. And the pastor said immediately, he just looked at him, he said, Revival's over. He said, What do you mean revival's over? He said, Well, if this is shop talk to you, then my people are merchandise, and you don't need to be here. You know, really, if we was to open our eyes and look at the real aspect of Jesus Christ and His appearing, I think it wouldn't take us long to realize that this isn't shop talk. This is reality. Coke isn't the real thing. It's something. It's something that refreshes a cooling thirst in hot weather, or maybe even soothes a desire in the wintertime. But I promise you, if you make it to heaven, you'll find out quick-like that Coke isn't the real thing. And if you don't make it to heaven, it won't take you long to realize that if that was the real thing, you'd like to have some. I told a man that argued with me. He was doing the arguing and I was doing the listening and just quoting Scripture. It's amazing to me how that when people are wrong, and the Bible proves them wrong, how hard-headed they can be. Man tried to tell me there was no such thing as hell. And I began to quote the Scripture where the rich man was cast into hell. And I said, I don't believe. I said, you can believe it's a parable, and every one of us have our own belief on that. Have your own opinion from what you received from reading the Word. But I believe myself it's a literal fact. And I believe that because he said he has Moses and the prophets. He called Moses' name. And I said, I don't believe that he went around making up a story about Moses. But it was a true fact. It said that he cried that Abraham would send Lazarus to take and dip his finger in water and cool his scorching tongue. And he began to try to find a way out. And I said, that's the problem. He said, I want to go and ask a friend of mine. I said, that's everybody's problem today. When a man of God comes to the pulpit, lays out the straight and narrow way, the way to heaven, no deviation, a straight way, a narrow way, not a broad way, not your way, God's way. You don't have this like you have Burger King and McDonald's. Do it your way. You do it God's way or you just get out of the way. Let's love Jesus, church. And I said to him, I said, that's the problem. I said, everybody wants a friend's opinion. They want what somebody else has to say. What Uncle Joe thinks about it. What Aunt Mary thinks about it. What Uncle Paul or someone else has to say about the moment, or what his opinion is on the Scripture. Or let's go get Matthew Henry. And I'm not knocking him or debating anything that he's wrote. But what I'm saying, hey, the Word of God is true and every man's a liar. And if you can't take it like the Word of God says it, you have no right receiving it at all. My. I guess if I had a written script or was to write a title across this, I'm torn between two. But I guess I'll take the first. I'm going to try to preach about when you walk past heaven to get to hell. The second thing I begin to think about, maybe we could write across the top of this, is when keys lose their value. I think that we're living in the most mixed up age that's ever hit. I mean, it doesn't take much to figure out that we're in the last days. As a matter of fact, I was in a service and preaching under the anointing of God, and I stopped and I made a statement. I said, I tell you what I feel. I feel we now are in the beginning of the end. I left that revival and went to start another revival. And that night, the pastor walked to the pulpit. And he said, today, I felt the Lord speak to me. He said, I've never made this statement before. But I believe we are now in the beginning of the end. Let every word be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. God doesn't have to send somebody else to me to tell me we're in the beginning of the end. I believe it, church. I said, I got my eyes open. I've been watching. I've been getting ready. I got my lamb all trimmed and burned. And when He appears, I want Him to find me ready. I don't want to be confused. I don't want to be trying to look. I don't want to be trying to find something, but I want to be ready. When He calls my name, I want to step up to the front and say, "Here I am, Jesus. I've been waiting on You, Lord. Take me home, Lord." When He calls some of our names, we're going to think we can hide. Maybe some of you tonight would be glad to hide under a pew if you was to see Him appearing. If He was to appear right now, I'm telling many of you would be ashamed of yourself. You don't want to meet the Lord as bad as some of us do, but it's not going to stop His coming. He's going to appear anyhow. And the best thing you can do is wake up. But a lot of you don't want to go to heaven because you'll be unhappy there. You'd be better off in hell. Why you say that, preacher? Because your spirit and your attitude rejects everything that God stands for. I mean, you don't love to worship God. You don't like to live faithful. You don't like to pray. You don't like to be constant and instant in season and out. And some of you are instant in season and out. You ain't going to do nothing in season. You ain't going to do nothing out of season. You're going to remain faithful. Faithful to the devil. That's a hard statement. Well, you're going to serve one or the other. Oh, worldly song. And some of you that's been out in sin, you used to hear, said you got to serve somebody. Said it might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And you better hear me. You're serving somebody today. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're definitely going to serve somebody. Jesus said, "A man that follows me had best take up his cross and bear it." I mean, it wasn't a split decision. If you're going to come after me, He said, "Hey, get up your cross and bear it. Come on with me. You got a cross to bear if you're going to follow the Lord. I'm not going to tell you it's roses and a painted path. I'm going to be honest with you." He said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's not for sissies. It's not for wimps. It's for people that's got their mind made up to get into the kingdom." The problem with this generation today, in the hour that we live, and church all through America, apostolics is just as bad. To come to the house of God and want a preacher. To pray and preach, I should say, want a preacher to preach heaven down. But they don't want him dare to preach hell out the door. It's alright to get a little heaven in, but whatever you do, don't preach hell out. It's alright to preach a shout down, but whatever you do, don't preach sin out the door. My, I'm telling you, there's a judgment day coming. A day of reckoning. There's a day of warning right now, but the day of reckoning's coming. A day, and it's going to be an awful day, and a terrible day. And it's going to be a fearful day. And those that have been playing around, those that have been living half in and half out, they're not going to make it. Those that haven't got their mind made up to fight, they're not going to make it. My God, David said himself, when he found out about Saul's failure, when Saul had died, David fell to his knees. He the Bible says he rent his cloak, and there he began to fall and repent and cry before the Lord in sackcloth and ashes. And all of a sudden everybody was weeping, and David looked around and said, "Hey, how are the mighty fallen, David? I'm going to tell you how they have fallen. They've lost their direction. They quit praying, David. They quit worshiping God, David. They quit living faithful in the house of the Lord." David made a statement following that. He said, "Hurry, get the children, get the young men together." He said, "Let's teach them the use of the bow. Let's teach them the use of the bow and how to use the arrow." I mean, David realized, hey, while we're sitting here, we got children growing up that are watching us. We got others that are looking at our lives. And if we don't get a hold of them now, the church is gone. If we don't reach them now, it's past history. I'm telling you, I feel that. Every once in a while, one of you mama dads just ought to charge up here right in front of your children and just start dancing. I mean, like a madman. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? Y'all say, "I'm going to show you how to worship God. I'm going to show you how to use a bow. I'm going to show you how to use an arrow." Oh! Feel of a cup of the high end. What you doing, preacher? I'm teaching somebody. I'm saying, "Come follow me. I'm going to go to the house of the Lord." You may be seated a moment. My, I refuse to sit down and die. You hear me? I said, I refuse to sit down and die no matter how bad the pressure gets. I made a statement. I said, some of us have lost the value of the key. Jesus handed us the keys to the kingdom. And we have lost the value of them. The key of prayer. The key to worship. The key to commitment. The key to faithfulness. The key to living right, dressing right, doing all the things that's going to take you to heaven. We lose those keys. We just kind of drop them one at a time and they begin to become meaningless. But they are valuable. More valuable than gold. Money can't buy it. All the money you got in the world won't buy the keys to the kingdom. One man tried it and he was called a sorcerer. Was rebuked for his ways. But the sad thing about it is many will walk past heaven just to go to hell. Judas is a prime figure. Judas showed up on the scene and I don't know, I'll be honest with you. While Judas was a man, some say that the only reason Judas was recorded is because that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But I'm going to tell you, there's another side to that. Judas had a heart and Judas had a mind. But he gave it to the devil. God didn't make him give his heart and his mind to the devil. That was his choice. There is a point in God. The book of Revelations, I'm going to read this right now. I just really feel this. There's a couple of things that really stood out to me. Revelations chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 20. Here it says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Now, almost kind of to a point, if you're not careful, it'll seem like a contradiction. One time he said, "Hey, I open the door and I shut the door. And then whom I will, I'll open, and whom I will, I'll shut," more or less. But what he was saying here was, I've got an open door when I give a call. When I give a call, I give an open door. And I start reaching and digging and stretching and doing all I can to reach. I go through the deep miry clay to get a soul out of hell. I do everything I can. I died and shed my blood. I opened the door for them. Blood and water came out of my side that they might know me, that they might know me the power of my resurrection and the fellowship of my sufferings. I opened the door for them. But then he went on to say, "Hey, but to whom he shutteth it, no man can open it." And then he come right behind it and said, "I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open," he said, "I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me." You're talking about a relationship. You're talking about a close walk with God. What he was saying was, I mean, it's just like some of you is to open your house and say, "Come on in, we're going to have dinner." And you come in and eat a good old home-cooked meal, and then you go to their house and they got one spread for you. It's just more than you can handle. It's just too good to be true. It's just fattening and filling and all the good things. And Jesus said there is an open door of love, an open door of suffering between both of us. But he said, "Listen to me." He said, "There is a time coming that I'm calling some of you that I'm going to shut a door." And you know what's sad? It's when you got an open door to a shut door. What are you talking about? Some people play around so long, they won't open the door of their heart. And he draws them, he reaches for them, he does everything. And finally, when he reaches the extent, and when that extent is, only God knows, he shuts his door. He closes his. Then you might decide, in the weakness of the hour, when you don't feel him drawing you no more, when you don't feel him talking to you no more, you might decide to open your door up. But all you're going to do is see another picture of darkness. It's not going to be like you think it is. It's going to be a whole different story. My, why do we think that God is on a chain? Why do we think we're leading God around? Why do we think that He works only at our command? It's not like that. We're His servants. Now, if you want to serve Him, you're in the right place.
But if you come just to get served, you're in the wrong place. Sure, he does some good serving, but the only way he serves is that he gets served back. It's an open door on both sides. He comes to your house and you come to his. He fellowships with you and you fellowship with him. What are you talking about, Brother Talbert? I went in there and prayed for some things. But that's not all of it. I can't walk out here and just expect him to do everything. I got to put some worship up. I got to open the door up and say, come on in, Lord. I'm going to feed you a while. I'm going to give you something that you deserve. My, my, my. My Lord. He's got an open door. But my question is, do you have one? Are you going to wait too late? I felt the Lord tell me, said, I've got a man here tonight that I'm drawing. I'm trying to restore. I'm going to leave it at that. I was in a service the other night, and God showed me how real He is. So you know He's real anyway, Brother Talbert, but there's a point when God does some things that astounds the human mind. You walk away shaking your head and saying, how can people not believe in God after what just happened? We was in a service and there was a man sitting on the back pew. The Spirit of the Lord began to move and was ministering in the Holy Ghost and went back to him. Ministered to his wife. She was a backslider. She prayed through there and I turned to walk away and I just felt as though it was like somebody pulled my coat and I turned around and that man was looking at me. And he just flowed out of my mouth. I said, I don't understand it, but I'm going to tell you. I'd be afraid to be a backslider and live in the house with that lady. I said, not only that, this might not make a bit of sense to you, but it looks to me like you got two healthy legs. But I feel like the Lord's telling me you ain't got but one. You know, it's amazing how some people, how hard they are. He just looked at me. I said, it might not make no sense, but I see you only got one leg, though it looks like you got two. Everybody else broke and wept except him. After church, I found out that night the pastor's wife came to me and said, Brother Talbert, I've got to ask you something. You didn't know that man had a wooden leg, did you? I said, no, ma'am, I didn't know he had a wooden leg. I mean, it looked like two healthy legs to me sitting there. She said, no, sir, he ain't got but one leg. Said, you saw it cut off up to here, and that's exactly where it's cut off at. Why? Ask me why. When God goes that far to reach into the hidden things, use a man to go into the mystery to reach somebody's heart where they still sit cold. Not lift their hands, not weep before the Lord. I'm going to tell you why. Because they're walking through heaven just to get to hell. Oh, my God. Some of us are in a dangerous place. Some of us are living on dangerous territory. Get the Holy Ghost and back out in the world. He's back in. Is he still here? Yeah. Yeah, there he is. Oh, bless me one more time. Just let me feel you. Good, I can go back out again. As long as you can feel him reaching for you. As long as you, there he is, yeah. I feel his presence. Good enough. That's not good enough. See, what you're doing is you don't realize you got a closed door and he can't come in. But he's allowing you to come in now. And you're enjoying his presence. You're enjoying his goodness. But he wants in your heart. But you won't let him in. But you got your own time, don't you? You're going to open it when you get good and ready. You're going to live faithful when you get ready too. But is that a good time to do it? It's certainly not. It's dangerous. It pays an awful price that you can't pay. And I've got a question for you that I can't answer. I don't think Brother Shirley can answer. I don't think none of you can answer. And I don't even believe the angels in heaven have an answer. That is the scripture that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How are you going to get around it? Neglect God, neglect prayer, neglect the calling of God, neglect an altar. Jesus said, if you follow me, you're going to take your cross up. You know what the cross was a similitude of? An altar. Jesus was sacrificed for us. He said, if you follow me, you better be ready at any moment to sacrifice. If I say, hey, it's time to pray, you better lay down the cake. You better put down the kitchen knife. You better fall to your knees. You better get in touch with me, because it's something that happens daily. It's an open door between heaven and the heart of man. You don't keep cigarettes. You don't tote around alcohol. You don't keep doing the same old filthy things. Well, I'm waiting on God to set me free. Well, you got the Holy Ghost, you've been set free. The problem is, you didn't let them get burned on the altar. You picked them up and set them aside. But you got to get rid of it. But you got to give it to God. God's not going to put you in a full Nelson and take it away from you. You got to hand it to Him. You got to lay it on the altar. How do I do it, preacher? By faith. Two things rule this world, faith and fear. Fears of the devil, there is a fear of the Lord, and it's the beginning of knowledge. But 90% of people that go the way of the world go by fear. Everything's operated by fear. You read the Bible, come through it, you'll find out that every time that Israel fell, it was because of fear. They didn't trust God. They went their own way because maybe they feared the enemy, or they feared this, or they feared that. And so many of us, we allow the devil to put fear on us. Fear that we can't live for God. Fear that we can't be faithful. Fear that we can't be committed. Fear that we can't win souls. Fear that we can't be a part of the kingdom of God. And we allow Him to drive us back out by fear. What you ought to do is cast the fear down, pick up the faith, pick up your cross, and follow Him. My Lord. I said, our problem is we have lost the value of the keys in our life. It doesn't mean, when you first got the Holy Ghost, a lot of you, man, you grabbed the keys up. You said, I got the keys to the kingdom. Does anybody need prayer? Is there a cat around? Is there somebody lame? Is there somebody blind? Is there somebody sick? I want to pray for them. Faith has died in that key, and you laid it down. Key to soul winning. You first got the Holy Ghost, you was all juiced up. You're going to reach souls. But you live it. You got weary and you laid it down. It's not valuable to you anymore. A key of being committed to the house of the Lord. You'd rather be committed, some of you young people, to a girlfriend than the Lord. And vice versa. But may I tell you that look at them real good. And look them in the eye and say, hey, you know I love you more than I do God. Because I'd rather worship you than I had the Lord. That's a hard statement, Brother Tauber. That's a fact. You choose a mate over Jesus, you have offended the Holy Ghost. You choose somebody over Him, and I'm telling you, you made a bad mistake. And you're going to pay for it. It'll cost you in the end. It might be roses on the day you stand before the preacher. But if you ain't got God in it, it won't last 10 seconds. That's all right. You can sit down if you want to. But I'm going to tell you anyway, you got to have your mind made up if you're going to enter in. It's not going to be halfway. It's not going to be part of the way. It's not going to be little. It's going to be all the way. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My. You know, Judas walk right through heaven just to go to hell. He came to where Jesus was and led the followers of Satan to Him and kissed Him and walked right through heaven just to go to hell. Many of you are doing the same thing. You come into the presence of the Almighty God. The Bible says He has made us to sit together in heavenly places. We have come in here, a holy and camp of angels are in this place. His presence is here. And while He walks the aisles tonight, His Spirit is coming to identify who is who. And He is here to make known who is His and who is the devil's. And while He appears in this place tonight, and while He makes His Spirit known, many of you sit here idle. You don't give God anything. You don't give Him some praise. You sing a song, give God some praise. Give God some praise, and that's all right. It's real good to sing about it. But if it only comes from your lips, and it don't come from your heart, and it don't come out here, in passing, literally, right through heaven just to go to hell. Is it worth going to hell? I don't think there's no reason worth going to hell. When you going to get your act together? When you going to wake up? When you going to realize you're going to let the devil lie to you? Smoke with some kind of disease and die without God. Waiting around, playing around. Going to pick your own right moment when they get into church. But see, the odds are against you. Because He's not going to come just when you make your choice if He knows your heart ain't in it. He's going to come when you ain't ready. If you're just picking Him for a way out, He's going to come when you're not ready. You don't need to pick Him for a way out. You need to pick Him for a way in. You don't choose Him just to get out of problems. You choose Him to get into Jesus. You choose Him to get near Him, to know Him, to walk with Him, to have Him. Not to have the world, not to know the world, but to know the Lord. My. It's an awful thing to play with God. It's a dangerous thing to play with the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to take God for granted. Truth is a way to Jesus. But there is a people that have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. The Bible speaks of a man that fell among thieves. The Scripture says that a priest come by on the other side, looked at him. Probably just got through preaching a sermon somewhere. Left him and went on his way. Then behind him, a Levite come. One could very well have been a priest, studying to be a priest, or just could have been one, been a saint. He came, he looked on. The man went on his way. Then, along comes somebody, and this man was a Samaritan. He had compassion on the man, poured oil in his wounds, doctored him up, took him to an inn to be taken care of. See, there's two places you can be. You can be in danger in any one of them. You can be like the first man, full of truth and no compassion. Or you can be like the last man, full of compassion and no truth. The first man knew right, knew the law, knew everything. He had the truth of the Word, but he didn't have the Lord. He knew everything, but he didn't live it. He preached it, but he didn't live it. And a lot of us are guilty of that. We preach things. We activate them. We kind of act like it's so, but we don't live it. We don't live it to the fullest. See, our problem is we got truth. We got a garment of truth and no oil. But the good thing about it is you don't have to be like that. You can have a garment of truth and oil on the inside. And one that really delivers, one that really sets free, one that really heals, has truth and oil. You don't just have one and the other. You've got to have both of them. They've got to be planted on the inside. It's got to be communion. It's got to be a relationship. My God, it's so sad. I'm saying this from the depth of my heart. It's so sad to see people. And it's really sad to see those that grow up in the church and then go out to the world, never to return. Sad to see somebody come into the presence of the truth. Come to the knowledge of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of their sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, living a holy and godly life, separate from the world, and then go back out into the world. Like a dog returning to the vomit, walk through heaven just to go to hell. It's a sad thing to see it. But I kind of feel in my spirit that some of you have kind of got your mind made up, even though what you're hearing right now, you're going to just take your chances. You're like a man sitting down, playing Russian roulette, rolling the gun handle around till it stops and pulling the trigger. You're playing a dangerous game. And believe it or not, one of these days the gun's going to go off. It's like the man that raised a snake in his house. True story. Got him when he was about 2 feet. Raised him till he was 14 feet. And that snake was part of the family, you know. So, when you're part of the family, you don't hurt one another. Kept the snake in his house. Took good care of the snake. Raised him up. Had a little boy that grew up to the age of 4 years old that played with the snake. And the father trusted the snake. The mother trusted the snake. The little boy trusted the snake. But one day, the father heard a scream outside. He ran to the front porch just in time to see where that python had dropped his snarling fangs into that little boy's face. The poison began to flow, and within moments his head was swollen 3 times the size it was. He said he watched this little boy as he dropped and quivered and died. That snake began to crawl up under the house. He said as he stood there, reality came to him. And that's the sad thing about it with all of us. We think if we keep a snake in our life, that eventually he's going to change. We think if we keep our own nature, that eventually it's going to become the will of God. You know, you hold on to a snake long enough and it'll eventually come the will of God. Moses cried out, it's a rod to God. And God said, throw it down. He cast it down and become a snake. Moses couldn't tell what it was as long as he had it up next to his heart. A lot of you think you're holding on to a rod, your will. You got your will in your hand. You hung up with a burning bush, the Spirit of the Lord in our midst. You took your shoes off and you got your will in your hand. I got the Holy Ghost, preacher. Yeah, and you got your will. You got a stinking snake in your hand. I can't win souls. That's your will. I can't pray. Can't get up and pray. That's your will. I can't worship. That's your will. I can't live right. That's your will. I can't get rid of these cigarettes. That's your will. Brother Tomlin, I have problems shouting. I just can't seem to get up and give it all I have. That's your will. That's a snake in your heart. You need to cast that thing down. Pick up the will of God. Get in the center of the will of God. Oh. Hallelujah. I can see Moses after he cast it down and picked it up and it became a rod. When he went back to Egypt, it said he carried with him the rod of God. Moses finally learned, I got to cast my will down, pick up the will of God. It's a different story now. It's not what it was in the beginning. I feel good. Thank you, Jesus. I said, I got my mind made up. I gotta go all the way. Woo! My Lord. If God would let me, I'd come to you. But see, the problem is, He's got an open door and yours is shut. You can't commune with a shut door. It's like talking to a brick wall. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you one thing. Did you know the devil has come to take your keys? Would you let a stranger come in and take the keys to your automobile, Brother Troy? I wouldn't. Would you let a stranger come in and get the key to your house? No, you wouldn't give it up. But you've done something worse than that. You're not only giving the keys. You almost handed him your whole soul. But I'm going to tell you something, church. I feel brave right now. What about you? I said, I feel brave. And I kind of feel like telling the devil. I kind of feel like looking him in the eye. I feel like just kind of standing out in the open and say, yeah, Satan, the devil's crying. He's hollering. I got the key to their soul. I got the key to their soul. I feel like looking him in the eye right now. I feel like saying, no, Satan, you might have their spirit, but my God has a key to death, hell, and the grave. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing God. I'm going to keep reaching. Hallelujah. I said, He's got the key. You don't have it. It's not in your hands. It's in God's hands. Hallelujah.
look him in the eye and say, hey, I claim the key to that heart right now. I claim the key to my husband's heart. I claim the key to that man's heart. I claim it in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus on him. You're talking about storming the gates of hell. We ought to storm it right now. You're talking about breaking the court hall. Where you at, huh? You ought to run. You ought to flee for refuge. You ought to lay hold on eternal life. You're going to stand there idle? You ought to charge out. You ought to come on. You ought to go ahead and get a hold to it. Oh, you ought to, no. Just hold it a minute, church. Maybe it ain't sunk down when I say it yet. For too long we've let the devil tell us he's got the key to their heart. We let the devil tell us, hey, I got this man, or I got this woman, I got this boy. No, you lying snake, you don't have none of them. They got to go through Jesus to get to hell. Oh, I said I feel good about it. You ain't going to take them to hell. I'm going to claim their soul. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus over that key. You know what I visualize right now? I literally visualize some people that are standing in this place that have been praying for people that have been bound by the devil. I literally picture them walking to the courts of hell and kicking the door open and say, I come for a key. You cannot have it anymore. My God's got it. He's given it to me. I come to pray the prayer of faith. I come to set them free. I come to see them be delivered. Pray, church. Don't quit praying. I said, don't quit praying. Something. If you want to stand there idle, you can. You ought to be getting a hold of the key. You ought to be going after it right now. You ought to do all you can to let God know you claim that key to that heart. Y'all keep praying with her. Keep praying, ma'am. Don't stop praying. I said, stay on your knees. Let the tears flow down your eyes. If you want deliverance, it's an open door right now. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. I'll tell you what I hear right now. I hear a door opening up. And I hear the creaking sound of it as it rinks its hinges. And all of a sudden, a thundering stop.
And I feel once again an invitation is given to you. I feel God has opened His door once again. I feel He's extending one more chance to you. But I'm wondering, are you going to stand there? Are you going to just stay there? Are you going to open the door up? Come on right now. Come on right now, this altar. Come on while He's talking to you. Come on to the altar while Jesus is talking. Come on right now. I said, come get deliverance. Come be set free right now. Hey, you're not looking at a fool. You're looking at somebody who's been praying. There's more in here than this. I've got to be set free. I've got to be set free. I can't quit, Lord. I said, I gotta be set free. I can't walk away. I'm not gonna go to hell passing through heaven. I've come here to stay. I hear a cry going out. I said, I hear a cry going out. It said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. Oh, Hanalebohasahaye.
It's in your hands. You got the key in your hands right now. Come on, you young guys. Come on, you young guys. Come on, you young guys. The voice of God is crying. The voice of the Lord is crying. The voice of the Lord is crying. Come unto me. Come unto me.